The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
The following podcast is sponsored by AppFolio Investment Management.
In a recent study, AppFolio Investment Management customers reported up to 70% growth in their total EUM over a one-year period. How? They were able to cut fundraising time down by 50%, automate waterfall distributions, and impress investors with a professional self-service investor portal. AppFolio Investment Management is your partner in commercial real estate. Learn why thousands of real estate investment managers are choosing AppFolio Investment Management at appfolioinvestmentmanagement.com.
I'm Mike Consul.
And I'm Loretta Klotfelder.
Welcome to Inside the Edition for the January 2022 issue of Institutional Real Estate Americas. Senior editor Loretta Klotfelder joining me as always. Loretta, welcome to the new year.
Yeah. Happy 2022.
Yeah. So we've been hearing about lending. We've been hearing about credit and debt for a while and about how they've become the kind of in vogue investment given the times that we're facing. But we do have volatile markets. You have a lead feature titled Lending in Volatile Markets. Let's start right there. What are the potential headwinds that are facing commercial real estate lenders and investors in the real estate debt market right now?
Well, you know, and I think the interesting thing about where debt markets are is that they're in good shape at this point, but they're really facing a lot of different risks from a lot of different directions. So you can really imagine these sort of headwinds kind of buffeting them from different directions. You know, some of those are external, some of those are internal. And so, you know, you've got a lot going on. So on the external side, you've got COVID-19, obviously. I mean, this is a major public health crisis, and it's going to have, you know, ongoing impacts on the commercial real estate market, especially certain property types have, you know, continued to struggle in this period. And so as a lender, you want to be very mindful of that. And then you also have sort of the broader macroeconomic environment. You know, we've got rising inflation, which can be, you know, something for lenders to be very aware of. Especially with fixed rate lending, you're going to want to, you know, pay attention to what central banks are doing. You know, we've got a period of tapering coming in the U.S. You just have a lot of sort of economic stresses and questions kind of happening. Will we have inflation for, you know, is it transitory? Is it not? What is going to happen with GDP growth? Will there be GDP growth? Are we going to get into a stagflationary environment? These are all questions that lenders need to be kind of thinking about as they loan, especially since, you know, the mood right now is, at least in the U.S., that we're going to be seeing some rate hikes by the Fed, possibly starting in March. This is definitely something that people are expecting in this year. That's being priced in right now. You know, we're seeing interest rates go up. These are just all things that are happening right now. And then you, of course, have, you know, the other issues that are sort of maybe more internal to the real estate industry. But you've got ESG and climate risk, and lenders are now, you know, being asked to pay attention to this issue in a way that I think that they had not previously. You know, that ESG was maybe something that you dealt with at the property level. That was maybe something for asset owners, but that lenders weren't really involved in ESG. Well, that's changed, you know, and now, you know, we're even starting to hear about loans that are linked to ESG performance. That's sort of a new area that's growing, especially in Europe, where you're going to be able to sort of target your loan interest rate to the, you know, how you're doing based on some of those metrics that they have.
So how does that work? So in other words, you're getting a loan and based on the ESG performance, a certain interest rate will be charged, and that's a variable rate that they take into account every how often?
You know, that's going to depend on the individual loan, but yes, it could be a difference of maybe 25 basis points on your rate, you know, on what you're borrowing, depending on whether or not you're achieving certain key ESG metrics.
There's just no escaping it anymore, huh? Everybody's got ESG stamped on their forehead. And, you know, when you mention these dynamics, Loretta, things like COVID, inflation, GDP growth, that just sounds so universal right now. But are there any regional differences when it comes to lending? Because the big institutional players are playing in all continents or pretty much all the continents. Are there regional differences, or is this kind of across the board? Everybody's worried about inflation, COVID, and GDP growth, et cetera.
I mean, yes and no. So yes, everybody's worried about sort of the big idea. Like the big concepts are at this point universal. You know, COVID is a global phenomenon. Inflation is becoming a global phenomenon because of the reaction to COVID. Well, the interesting thing about this article, so it ran in Institutional Real Estate Americas. We also published it in Institutional Real Estate Europe and Institutional Real Estate Asia Pacific. And it really does take a global perspective on the debt markets. You know, so, you know, what you're going to see, you know, for instance, in the U.S., you know, you've definitely seen debt funds growing very rapidly, whereas the securitized debt CMBS market has declined. That's one of the sort of things happening in Europe. Liquidity remains high in Europe, but banks have retreated a bit. So again, that's just starting to see the growth of the non-bank sector, which grew a little sooner in the U.S. You know, so we're talking about like real estate debt funds. You know, non-bank lenders have probably had a bit of a foothold in the U.S. for maybe the last decade. That's growing pretty significantly in Europe now, sort of following the trend that you've seen in the U.S. And, you know, if you think about what you're happening outside of Europe and Asia, or Europe and the U.S., you know, when you go to Asia, you're going to see, in particular, the big area for lending is going to be in development. So that's really where you're having the same sort of demand is as development happens. But, you know, the difference there too is that Asia didn't have the sort of liquidity pullback amid COVID that you saw in Europe or in the U.S. Does that sort of give you a good sort of picture? So again, the drivers are similar, but there are some regional nuances.
Got it. And listeners, before I ask Loretta the next question, just want to make sure that you're aware. You can just search in the search bar on the IREI website, Lending in Volatile Markets. The story will come up. James Wallace is the author of that story. So, Loretta, what about property type then? Because certain property types look riskier than others. Do we see differences there?
Yes. And some of that is just, you know, where lenders are focusing is definitely on the more attractive property types. But that also reflects, you know, where transactions are happening too. So because there's not as many office transactions, there's not as many retail transactions, you're not seeing the same, you know, volume of lending in those property types. You know, for instance, you know, one of the people interviewed for the story talks about how new loan originations for office, you know, fell from about 50% to 35%, you know, prior to COVID, to 15% since we've had lockdown. So there just isn't any interest in borrowing or lending in the office sector, just because there's so much uncertainty, you know, because we don't know. And now we have this Omicron wave coming through. And so, you know, that return to office that had been expected, it just keeps getting pushed off 3 to 6 months. The mass return for a lot of people, you know, many people are back in the office, but not everybody has. And a lot of people are really looking for a more flexible work situation. And that just leaves a lot of open questions about what's happening in the office market. You know, mm-hmm. On the other hand, you know, you're going to have a sector like, let's say, logistics, industrial property, that has been on fire the last year. You know, the trends that are supporting industrial are many, and COVID is only, you know, sort of an acceleration of those trends. So what that means is we've seen really strong rent growth for warehouse properties. We've seen really active transaction markets as well. And so you put those together and, you know, this becomes a very popular area to lend. you know, and you know, huge demand for borrowing, but also lenders are quite keen on that sector. Retail, you know, the less said about retail, the better, honestly. No.
Oh, boy.
You know, what you're really seeing, the real interest in retail is around things like asset repositioning. I think there's some interest on that front. There could be some things happening there that might be really interesting. But, you know, in general, there just isn't the same appetite for retail lending as you might have for some of the other property types.
Right, right. So you've got I'm just taking a look here at yeah, the other subject I wanted to talk to you about, Loretta, is REITs. I know you did a piece about how they outperformed in 2021. And the question, of course, now is, okay, it's 2022. How will REITs do this year? I mean, they've done, and we're talking about publicly traded REITs, I assume, unless, did you broaden this one out to include non-traded, or is this the public REITs?
Yeah, so that's a story in our February issue that hasn't quite come out yet. It should be out in about a week.
Should we be talking about this, or is this the big reveal? It is on the website. It is on the website now.
I can give a little tease of it. I can definitely tease our REIT feature. Bottom line, REITs had an amazing 2021. Really strong performance, really strong growth. You know, what you saw, it was pretty broad-based across property types as well, which I think is really interesting. You know, as much as we've talked about, you know, the challenges facing the retail sector, because 2020 was so bad in the retail sector, you know, 2021, you actually saw a lot of growth in the retail stocks. Like that was really, you know, if you start the clock at the beginning of 2021, retail stocks actually had a really good year. And that's because you had a bit of, you know, you had this reopening trade, vaccinations on the rise, people going back to, you know, restaurants, shopping, other in-person activities. And so that actually supported a lot of the more beaten down sectors, such as retail, hospitality, et cetera. You also saw really good performance on among the REITs that focus on the in-demand property types. So, you know, they did well in the second half of the year. You know, by the end of the year, you could see that, you know, real strong performance industrial, residential as well. So, you know, very broad based. And then, you know, one of the other things to keep in mind about REITs is it's a way for investors to access more specialized property types. You know, if you think about the four food groups, that is only maybe half of the total listed market in the US. So it's actually a really good way to access some of these more specialized.
Oh yeah, the niche
types.
Plays.
And what's interesting, you know, I asked some of the people I spoke with, I asked you, well, what's, you know, because niche property has become so non-niche at this point, you know, we talk about alternative sectors, that this kind of, you know, alternative sectors are becoming pretty mainstream at this point. I asked, well, what are the next niches? What are the niches that are still niches, but that might become something? And the two things, at least in the REIT market, to keep an eye on are cold storage, which is, you know, sort of a subset or segment within the industrial segment, and gaming and leisure, so casino properties, which is sort of a subset or a, you know, a niche within the hospitality market. But they're both hospitality and retail plays in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, there you have it. So 2022 is underway. We've taken a look at the lending environment in the January edition and upcoming in February, although it is live on the website now. If anybody wants to take a look at the February issue, you just won't find it in your mailbox yet. The post office isn't that quick.
No,
in fact, they've been quite slow lately.
it won't be in anyone's mailbox till February, but yeah.
But the ebook edition is an exact electronic replica of the magazine. So by the time your magazine arrives, you could have it all read up. So there you have it. Loretta, as always, thank you for taking the time and giving us some highlights.
Absolutely.
This podcast was sponsored by AppFolio.